Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio on our program, Clear for Takeoff. This is Deacon Joe Montone, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. This week we prepare for the sixth Sunday in Ordinary Time. Let's get to it, my friends, to our first reading. But before we do, let's do our checklist. Number one, do you have time for God? Check. Number two, is your heart open wide for God? Check. Number three, is your Bible open? Check. And number four, are you free of distractions at this time? Check. And if you've answered yes to our four questions, then you and I are ready to engage in the Word of God. Let's go to our first reading from the book of Sirach, chapter 15, verses 15 to 20. If you choose, you can keep the commandments. They will save you. If you trust in God, you too shall live. He has set before you fire and water, to whichever you choose. Stretch forth your hand. Before man are life and death, good and evil, whichever he chooses shall be given him. Immense is the wisdom of the Lord. He is mighty in power and all-seeing. The eyes of God are on those who fear him. He understands man's every deed. No one does he command to act unjustly. To none does he give license to sin. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of Sirach today, the Lord makes it clear, my friends, that we have a choice to make. If you choose, you can keep the commandments, and they will save you. So what is your choice, my friends? What is my choice? What is the choice that we make today in going forward into tomorrow? And as we begin the season of Lent coming up very shortly, you know, we're conscious of the Word of God here, which gives us the guidance and direction to go forth and lead a sin-free life. And we're all human beings. We know that we are sinners. But can we do a better job of maintaining a sin-free life? And there are those sins which hurt ourselves, and those which hurt other people. And so as we go forward, my friends, into a sixth Sunday in Ordinary Time, we want to prepare well for the Lenten season as we approach. And the Lord's Word says this: if you trust in God, you too shall live. So where do you put your trust today, and why? Where is God on the list of priorities for you? Is he someone that we put our trust into, or do we trust other people? Am I putting my trust into my girlfriend or my boyfriend versus God? Am I putting my trust into corporate America, the stock market? Where am I putting my trust, my friends, and how is it working out for you so far? And there are many stories that we can use as examples about misplaced trust. You know, God will never let us down. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But man will let us down. Man will make laws that let us down. Man will make decisions that go against the Word of God. And we've talked about it many times, but there are things in place today and in the history of our nation that truly, you know, was put into place and wasn't good for our people. But God says this, once again, if you trust in God, you too shall live. And so we want to look at ourselves as, vulnerable. If we put our trust into other areas, and we want to look at God as a high priority, number one priority, submitting to Him, we make Him number one, and all else comes after Him. But if we are putting our trust in other people, and they are letting us down, we truly need to make changes in where we put our trust. In the WINGS program, our Inmate Reentry and Recovery program, we have shared many stories about inmates who have placed their trust into the wrong people, into a girlfriend, a boyfriend, into people who had bad intentions, good friends, supposedly. And this is why we have to be careful about where we put our trust. And God's telling us, if we trust in God, we will live. So we want to be clear that when we make a decision to trust someone, that trust is based on honesty, sincerity, respect, accountability, reliability, dependability. And that is a trust that's consistent. It's not just that we trust someone immediately. You know, we trust them with very low levels. The higher levels require truly someone's word and action to be evaluated. They need to be consistent each and every day. In the WINGS program, we talk about this. We measure trust one conversation at a time. And when someone says something to us, it's got to be backed up with good actions. And then we see that we can either trust them or we cannot trust them. This, my friends, is important. So what is it that you need to do? What changes do you make in the place in which you put your trust? Who has let you down in your life? And have you ever broken the trust with someone else? How did it make them feel? How did it make you feel? How was it resolved or rectified? Think about that. Now, we have all been in situations where we're on both sides of the coin, but God gives us wisdom to move forward, to learn the right ways to go. And we want to be clear that we want to protect our children, defend our children, to make sure that they're not putting their trust into the wrong areas, into alcohol, the drug of choice, into the wrong friends that lead them down a path in which they are hurt, they are wounded, affecting their credibility, their stability in life. So where we put our trust is key. And we measure trust, once again, one conversation at a time. And the Lord's Word says in the book of Sirach also, before man are death and life, good and evil. Whichever he chooses shall be given him. So we have free will. We have a decision to make every day which way we are going. And it comes down to this. Are we with God or against Him? What God says to do and not to do is incorporated in the Word of God between the Old and the New Testament. And that is something that we need to truly get acquainted with, get familiar with, fall in love with, so that what God says to do becomes paramount. It is the direction that we proceed each and every day. It's the right course of action, and God backs it up with so many different parables and so many different stories to help us to live a good life. And Moses said it best in the book of Deuteronomy. He says to be careful to do exactly as the Lord your God tells you to do. Don't deviate to the left or to the right, but to do exactly as the Lord tells us to do, so we can live and prosper. He wants us to be recipients of the blessings of obedience, which only come when we are following God's will for us, when we are doing exactly what He instructs us to do in the Word of God. We read it and we live it out. Hard to do, but it's our calling. And the more we fall in love with God, the stronger we will adhere to that course of action. Very important. Recently at St. Mary's Cathedral in Trenton, New Jersey, we had a presentation that focused on the Eucharistic miracles around the world. And, you know, the Eucharistic miracles are truly a blessing that God has given us to get closer to Jesus, to increase our faith, and for us to believe in the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist. And the closer we get to the Lord, the more we can adhere to that word that He instructs us to do. The closer we get to our Lord, the more trust we will put into our Lord and our Father in heaven. So it's important, my friends, to acknowledge the faith increases that God gives us in the Eucharistic miracles, in the apparition sites of our Blessed Mother Mary around the world for centuries. The Eucharistic miracles have been appearing since the year 250, and it's amazing. Focusing on transubstantiation, the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist itself. Where many don't believe, my friends, we are called to believe. And the Word of God confirms this in the book of John, chapter 6. And this is important, my friends, because God wants us to get home to the Father. And the sequence for us is to truly get closer to our Lord Jesus, to believe in Him, to confess with our tongue, believe with our hearts, and to have access to eternal life with our Father in heaven. This is important. But once again, we have free will. We have a choice to make each and every day. I encourage you, I inspire you to start opening up the Word of God and to get closer to Jesus and to read up on the Eucharistic miracles that have truly been present at churches around the world in many countries for centuries. Faith increases, like the apparition sites of our Blessed Mother Mary in Mexico City, Fatima, Portugal, Lourdes, France, and so many other locations God has given us, our Blessed Mother Mary, and the Eucharistic miracles to help increase our faith, bringing us closer to our Lord Jesus, ultimately getting us home to our Father in heaven. Let's go to our second reading from St. Paul to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 to 10. And here it is. Brothers and sisters, we speak a wisdom to those who are mature, not a wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. Rather, we speak God's wisdom, mysterious, hidden, which God predetermined before the ages for our glory, and which none of the rulers of this age knew. For if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and what has not entered the human heart, what God has prepared for those who love Him. This God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit scrutinizes everything, even the depths of God. The Word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And from St. Paul to the Corinthians, the people of Corinth, we are told that we speak a wisdom of those who are mature, spiritually mature. We speak God's wisdom. Not a wisdom of this age, my friends, opposite to God's wisdom. And so there are many examples of the wisdom that is not from God. And all good things come from God. So when things that are not conducive for life or family life or for peace are occurring, these things are not from the wisdom of God. And there are people out there, entities out there, who are speaking about things from a human wisdom standpoint. That it's okay to kill an unborn baby. Okay to marry two men or two women. Once again, human wisdom, something we want to identify as sometimes being aligned with experience in life that is not aligned with the eyes of God, not aligned with the Word of God. God calls us, my friends, to a higher standard and to get on board with His way of doing things, to submit, to make Him number one, and for us to be number two, and to do it His way versus what feels good to us only. So I lay this out for you, my friends, because from St. Paul himself to the Corinthians, we're given, once again, a message about the wisdom of God. And God's wisdom is mysterious, hidden with God, predetermined before the ages for our glory, and which none of the rulers of this age knew. For if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And God likes to surprise us. He says, what eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and what has not entered the human heart, what God has prepared for those who love Him. So if we love God, if we are aligned with God and we love God, meaning we give Him quality time in prayer, in word and action, we are reverent to God. We have great respect, deep respect for God. God loves to surprise us. Things that we haven't seen yet will be coming down the pike. A new bride-to-be in a marriage. A new home. The blessing of a newborn baby. God loves to surprise us, but we are a culture who likes to plan to the point where we know everything. We know, even during the Christmas season, what gifts we're going to get, and we want to be truly prepared to the point where we know everything coming down the pike, but God doesn't work that way. He loves surprises because He can do things better than you and I could ever do them. He knows what we need. He knows what we want before we even ask. God is aware of our thoughts. But it's important that we allow God to surprise us. And if we love God, we'll do things His way. Once again, both in word and action, God calls us to a higher standard. And in this second reading from 1 Corinthians, we are given the opportunity, my friends, to follow God's lead. Once again, He's the captain. We're the co-pilots, following His lead, following His wisdom. Through the eyes of God, we follow His vision for life, for family life, for marriage, for the world. His vision for my life and for your life. Through His wisdom, through His vision, we submit. We put away the things that truly we only come up with. We look to God for the answers. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, God will lead us, direct us to a better way. If you told me 25 years ago I would be here at Holy Spirit Radio for many years doing radio shows, Clear for Takeoff, Finding God in Prison, I wouldn't have believed it, but God surprised me. If you told me that I'd be involved with prison ministry for almost 30 years, I would say, how is that going to be? How will it happen? I don't know anyone in prison. I've never worked there. I've never gone to school for that. How will it happen? God will surprise you. If you told me I'd be ordained a deacon in the Diocese of Trenton, in the Roman Catholic Church in the year 2022, I would say, it's a miracle. How will it happen? And that's God. That's His way. He loves to surprise us, to do things in a way that are best for us. The only thing is, we have to sometimes get out of our own way and allow God to do what He wants to do with us, to guide us, to direct us through the Holy Spirit. And it all starts with prayer. Mother Teresa said that the fruit of silence is prayer. The fruit of prayer is faith. The fruit of faith is love. And the fruit of love is service. The fruit of service is peace. And God worked through Mother Teresa, and He surprised her with a ministry called the Missionaries of Charity. In over 40-somewhat years, Mother opened more than 500 homes for the homeless and AIDS victims, and worked with more than 2,000 other sisters to help her to take care of these people. God surprised her, and I'm sure that she never knew she was going to be a saint, and God surprised her once again. So we look to God for the guidance and directions. We look to His wisdom through His eyes. Through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we want to make great decisions, wise choices, put our trust in God and God alone. And then He will surprise us with the life that He has designed for us. Powerful. Let's go to our gospel reading, my friends. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew, Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 to 37. And here it is. Jesus said to His disciples, "Do not think I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter of the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, 'You shall not kill,' and whoever kills will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Rakah,' will be answerable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to a fiery Gehenna. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there recall that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift there at the altar. Go first and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle with your opponent quickly while on the way to the court. Otherwise, your opponent will hand you over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Amen, I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body thrown into Gehenna. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body go into Gehenna. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife must give her a bill of divorce. But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, unless the marriage is unlawful, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to your ancestors, do not take a false oath, but make it good to the Lord all that you vow. But I say to you, do not swear at all, not by heaven, for it's God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot make a single hair white or black. Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything more is from the evil one, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of Matthew today, the Lord gives us a great message, hitting the commandments once again. And we have free will to follow these commandments, either to kill or not to kill, to commit adultery or to not commit adultery. And God's standards are high. If we even think of being with another woman as a husband, we have committed adultery. So we have work to do because we are weak and human and we are sinners. God calls us truly. He says, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. So we have responsibility as parents and as teachers and as role models to teach the children the right way to go. He says, whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So it is up to us. Do we want to be viewed as the least in the kingdom of heaven or the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? What is your choice, my friends? Let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. He identifies the commandments and taking a false oath. The killing of another person, adultery within a marriage, and taking a false oath, putting your hand on the Bible in court, taking a false oath, and going the opposite direction in the eyes of God. Once again, my friends, you and I have a choice to make. Free will to either uphold the high standards that God gives us and to do our very, very best, or to sink beneath that standard and cave in to doing what God says not to do and suffering the consequences. With the season of Lent coming up just around the corner, I challenge you and I, my friends, to live up to the higher standard, to do our very best, and to teach our children to do the same. That's our show for today. My name is Deacon Joe Montone. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a great day. God bless you, and we'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Clear for Takeoff. God bless.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.